I'm gonna pick my nose.
That's such a specific reference, Gunner. I haven't thought about that.
I still think about that to this day.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know if they know what you're talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't.
When I had an old YouTube channel, I like...
No, this was the beginning of Sketch Lounge.
What?
Yeah. This is early Sketch Lounge, sophomore year of high school.
Really? Because I thought... Were we referencing my old video on my old YouTube channel?
It may have been. You may have just inserted
it. I must have, because, yeah, it must have been a reference to, I had a friend that I made, like, videos with, but we lived far apart, so on one of our videos, I just called him on our home phone to give you an idea of how long ago this was, and I recorded it, and, like, during the thing, it was, no, maybe it was a different video. Anyway, like, it was... The premise of the video was that I picked my nose and got my finger stuck on something. But one of the sound bites from the video was just me being like, I'm going to pick my nose.
I'm going to pick my nose.
My God.
If I can, maybe I'll insert that clip if I can find it, because I'm assuming we're in the episode. I don't know.
Man, I am hungry. I better have some candy. Oh, is it grinding my... There we go. Here. That tastes so good. I think I'm gonna pick my nose. Ah.
Oh my god. If I it was, but well, what I know it from is me and Gabe had just started Sketch Lounge, and we had visions that it was gonna be this prime thing. I mean, it was gonna be. I don't know. We were dedicated to it. I think we both just loved the concept of making videos and editing them. And we had a lot of fun doing school projects and stuff with Sketch Lounge too. And so anyways, I was like, what if we do, I don't know who it was that brainstormed, but we were like, what if we do this video where it's like somebody trying to edit, but like they keep like, they have a bunch of tabs open of just like really awkward, embarrassing stuff. Well, anyways, it's literally just a video of editing. And then Gabe clicks off of it and he goes, oh, I don't know what this is. And Chris blesses play and goes, I'm going to peck my nose.
I do. Oh my gosh. That's so, I forgot about that video. I don't know where that is.
We deleted it.
Oh, it's not even privated?
We watched. No. It's completely removed.
Oh my God.
Because we watched it and we're like, I think both of us were like, I don't think this is it.
Yeah.
We just took it off. There were a few videos we did.
Oh my
God. Like, we're like,
yeah.
Man, I can speak, like, obviously I can't speak from like your guys' direct experience, but I can speak from like having made YouTube videos in the past. And then like when I was younger, being like, I don't know if this is it. And then deleting them. I regret doing that so much now, because it's just like, now that's lost media. I'm never going to get that again. And I can't, like, pull it up whenever I want to.
I will say, I have one of my favorite pictures of Gabe from a Sketch Lounge video we did. Let me see if I can pull it out.
Yes, please.
I mean, it was so freaking funny.
I want to say I enlisted a lot of those videos. I think some of them are still up. If you're watching this YouTube channel, it is this channel.
Yes, that's from the Comic Sans.
Definitely a Democrat.
Yeah, it is. I'm definitely a Democrat.
I'm a Democrat.
Sans, I'm definitely a Democrat.
That's all we took. That's all you could take away from that video, honestly.
On our Sketch Lounge video, we were doing my Don't Do Drugs video.
Yeah, John Yaderman Hagen.
On the sketch. Not John Yaderman Hagen, yes. Right. And we did that video on it, and I submitted it as my health project. I ended up getting extra credit.
Whoa.
She thought it was such a creative idea.
Dang.
And she thought it was, the editing was so good, which was like all Gabe, because basically I came to Gabe and I said, I want to do this video for my health project, but I need help editing. And really, I didn't need help. Gabe just did it.
Yeah.
And anyways, but she went into the rest of my videos because we hadn't privated them.
Oh, no.
And
oh,
no.
She's like, she watched him and she pulled me aside to class and she goes, Gunnar, I saw the rest of the videos on your channel. I was like, oh no. And she goes, they're so funny. I had to show them to my husband.
Oh my God.
I would. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So
he goes, the Comic Sans one was just so funny. And I was like,
as a teacher, I'm never a Democrat. Oh my. The only thing I remember. So my dumbass, I had a stolen copy of Sony Vegas, and like I made a YouTube edit of the John Yederbenhagen video where all I did was just put a bunch of like filters on the video to try to make it look more 80s, but like there were contradictory filters. It was like a VHS filter and then a grain like film filter, so it was just like it was like a bunch of like and they were just layered on top of each other, so the YouTube edit, as I called it, looks infinitely worse than the like one that you submitted to class. That's the only thing I remember about that video. Oh my God. If you're watching this video, dear Reality with a Twist viewer, it is on this channel. We might still have some that are not privated, but I think I privated most of them.
I think we should unprivate them. Yeah. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. Maybe we can add them to like a little playlist or something. Or yeah, we can unlist them and then add them to a little Sketch Lounge playlist or something.
Except for the vial.
Except for the vial, yeah.
Yeah, that one's not coming out.
Yeah, that one's not coming out of the...
Maybe if we have a Patreon.
Yes.
Maybe if you pay $50, you get to see our worst school film ever.
It was my fault. No, go ahead, Gunner.
Somebody's going to pay money to see our worst project ever.
Okay, but it's so funny. Dylan, I'm sorry I reference this every single time, but the shot in which half of your head is cut.
I know. Because it was just like, everybody's like gone home. It's like, fuck, we need that last scene at least. And I'm like, I can't do anything. I can't look at shit. We don't have any equipment. Yep. We'll do it and we'll see how it looks.
I remember, make sure you censor out the name. But do you guys remember?
Yeah.
And I remember I had to like flip him around and like be like, what are you doing?
Yes.
But he's like, don't touch my makeup. Don't touch my makeup.
And I remember in that video, if you slow down that shot of where you push him up, you can see him smiling as he goes, like he looks like he's has sexual like pleasure from it. It's the weirdest, creepiest dude. Smile.
And he brought his guitar to impress our teacher.
No, it wasn't our
teacher. No, it wasn't our teacher.
I'm gonna censor her name too. Already had a boyfriend at the time. Was not even remotely interested in him. That's freaking crazy. That was so funny. Holy shit.
Literally. I remember when we were like, but during that time, we're like, yeah, this is going to look so good when we're done with. And we fucking uploaded.
I can't imagine the judges.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
having full frontal lobe cognitive ability, right?
Yeah.
And them seeing this and going, what am I watching?
No, literally, I feel like the judges have had like this role of like, because they have like 100 fucking student films to review. Right. If like they just like, if they realize like one of them wasn't going to stand out, they're like, watch the first 10 seconds. They're like, yeah, next.
Yeah, yep. Because I remember, first of all, ours obviously did not place or win that year. And then the next year. Mention. Yeah. Wait, it got an honorable mention?
No, not even.
Oh, okay, okay. I was going to say it didn't deserve it. But even the next year, like the one that won had like a super impressive intro, and ours had a much less. It was like an exposition intro. So I bet that's exactly what they do. But I'm Gabriel.
I'm Gunner.
I'm Dylan.
I'm Ben.
I think that wins the award for our longest intro to a Reality with a Twist episode ever. Welcome back to Reality with a Twist. So, completely changing gears, unless you guys want to talk about anything else before we go into the main meat of this topic.
I say it's time to talk.
I think let's talk about the main meat.
Yes. We're starting a new series today, at least it'll be my, on my episodes, called Blank Are Crazy, and the blank you fill in an animal name. So what we're going to be doing is looking into different species of animals, learning a little bit about them, but most importantly, trying to find the craziest thing an animal has ever done on planet Earth. So
what's today's episode about?
Elephants.
Elephants?
Elephants.
The humble, not so humble elephant. So to add a little bit of competition to these episodes, one of these facts is actually a myth. And as well as listening to the crazy, you guys are going to be trying to deduce which one isn't real. But before we do that, you guys are going to rate all of these crazy things on a crazometer or crazometer. Both pronunciations are correct, out of 100. And we're going to try to deduce the craziest thing an elephant has ever done on this episode, out of the like five things we're going to talk about. And eventually, once we go through a few of these episodes, the craziest thing an animal has ever done. Again, to add a little bit more competition to this episode. If you guys... Essentially, the myth, you guys all will work together to try to vote together on which one's the myth. Okay. If you guys all vote correctly, you will all win a try again odds token. So if your guys' odds hit, you can just use a try again to get another chance. Now, if you guys don't get the myth correct, you will have to vote somebody amongst yourself to get the first ever odds curse. The recipient of the odds curse, their max odds number will be 5 on this episode. Their max number. This is something we're trying. If this doesn't work out, we won't do it in the future, but we're going to try it for this episode. So now that you guys are a little bit scared, let's talk about elephants.
I love elephants.
So the purpose of this series is not to teach you guys what an elephant is. You guys obviously know what elephants are. What, Dylan? Yes?
What?
They have 4 legs and they got a trunk and they drink the water.
Do they freaky?
Yes, Gunner.
What the elephant?
They got the 4 legs and they got the trunk and they drink the water. Ben?
Are the freaky?
Yes. Ben?
Oh. Could you please inform me on what this elephant is you speak of?
Oh, yeah. So they have 4 legs. They have a trunk. That's their most popular feature. And they drink the water.
I see.
Yes.
Any further questions? Do they engage in any kind of freaky activity?
They do on occasion get a little bit freaky.
Stupid as big.
I almost want to start with the freak fact now. Okay. What? Let's start with the freak fact. Green penis. Green penis.
What?
Whoa!
You telling me they got the rotten penis?
Yeah, they got rotten penis. So elephants. Elephants, males.
I thought you were doing the Minecraft zombie.
Male elephants can get green penis disorder during a larger condition called must. I think it's must. That's how it's
spelled. It's musk.
I call it a superpower.
super penis. They got Hulk penis.
They got the Hulk.
It affects.
Give me disorder.
Okay. I gotta focus. Okay. Elephants can get a green penis disorder during a larger condition called must that affects adult male elephants. They get flooded with 10 times as much testosterone as usual. You guys know what testosterone does to men?
Yes. I've done some research on elephants and must specifically. They are freaky.
They get freaky. They literally get freaky.
They literally get freaky.
They also get just angry. They're little jackasses. Well, they're big jackasses when they're because testosterone just makes people angry.
Yeah. Obviously I'm not gonna say what I know because I don't want to ruin any content you got, but
I don't think I'll finish this fact and you can expand on it if you'd like. I don't really have anything else related to this. It makes them angry and aggressive. The cause of their green penis is from the fact that during this condition, they uncontrollably dribble urine from their schlongs, and that causes a distinct odor and the green tinted penis. It stains their penis green. So
gross.
This is the one of the only ones that I'm not including. Well, actually, there's only 2 that I'm including a picture of. If you guys want to look up green penis, make sure to add the word elephant. Do not look up green penis.
What if I don't?
You can see what green penis disorder looks like in male elephants.
Man, yeah, that's freaky.
I'm scared. I don't want that in my search history.
I really don't want to have green penis disorder in my search history either. But yeah,
I kind of like to think that anything I look up, whether, I do it on a private browser or whatever, right?
Yeah.
the government still knows.
Yes.
What's the government going to think when I look up green penis elephant?
They're going to think, he freaky. I like him.
Get this man the presidential office.
Give him the Nobel Peace Prize.
But imagine all the hardworking people that earned the Nobel Peace Prize, and then Gunnar Johnson looked up green penis and disorder on Google.com on June 26, 2024 at 11:21 p.m.
Oh my gosh, he deserves it.
But no, musth and elephants. When I was in college, I did a whole persuasive essay about like circus elephants and whatnot. And yeah. I talked about musth a little bit. They become entirely different beasts. They're male elephants are complete assholes when it happens. They beat up and nearly kill newborn baby elephants, so that way the women are more eager to breed with said male. When they're freaky and they don't have an adequate female, they will try and hook up with rhinoceroses or any other beasts of their size to try and fulfill their needs. And overall, they just become way more aggressive. They become way more, dominant and very territorial. And it's not great, especially when they're a circus elephant. But I'm not going to dwell into that right now.
Yeah.
Two words. Yikes.
One word. That's not good. So this is our very first great crazometer. I'm going to have you guys tell me what you think you would put this out of 1 or 100 on the crazometer and why. If you guys would like, I can start. This is kind of hard since we don't have anything to compare it to. I'm going to put this on the crazometer at 50 because 50. A lot of animals get horny and a lot of animals get weird when they're horny, including humans. And males especially, testosterone affects males and just about every species. I think green penis is extra quirky, but everybody's got a little penis thing, you know. They always got a little. Yeah. Every animal got a little.
Wait, green penis? Penis turn green? Testosterone? Does that imply that the Hulk is a?
He's got green penis.
He just has uncontrollable green penis and must, and he's constantly dribbling urine all over himself to turn himself green.
Instead of calling them the Hulk, why don't we call him the Freak?
The Freak.
The Freak. And he goes, Hulk Freak.
No, he still says Hulk Freak. Smash. He still
says Freak Smash.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, if you're putting that at 50, then I don't even know what's coming next on the in terms of the facts or the craziness here. I think I'm gonna put it at 63 personally. Okay.
What's the crazometer out of 100?
Out of 100, yes.
Oh, I'm putting it at 75. I'd say that's crazy.
Okay. That's the explanation is that's crazy. Okay.
I'm gonna keep it a little lower. I don't know. I kind of agree with 50 because while it is crazy, it's just something that happens with them, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's not like one elephant did this crazy green penis thing. They just all do it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it happens to every single elephant, but it happens to a lot of them. So you say 50?
Yeah.
And then Dylan, did you want to? Oh,
go ahead, Dylan.
Dylan, did you have an explanation for yours?
I don't know. It just seems it's keeping it in the middle ground. It's a little bit crazy. Like, I don't think any other animals have a green penis syndrome and whatnot. So I feel like I want to limit it to that. But also, it's like if that's not a 100 in your book, Gabe, then like I don't even know what's a 100 in your eyes. So 63.
Okay. So that takes the average to 59.5. That is the official Reality with a Twist crazometer of green penis disorder or syndrome. Write that down. 59.5. That's a pretty good place to start. Let's take a little step back. I don't think this will be as high on the crazometer for you guys.
100! But this is just interesting.
What?
I'm just spitting numbers here.
oh my gosh. Okay. So this is one of the ones I'll send you guys a photo for.
Okay.
So
Penis Channel?
Yes.
Okay.
Their feet. We're going to be talking about elephant foot. You might sound freaky on the surface, but we're not getting freaky.
Aww.
So elephant feet are actually a great evidence for evolution. And that is because If you look at this picture that I'm just about to show you, it's in my screenshot. Okay, here it is. Tell me if you recognize what that is. That is an elephant foot, but tell me if you recognize that bone structure at all.
That's
looks like a human foot.
Yes.
Yes, it's very human-like.
Yes, it looks like a human standing on their tippy toes, just like very big. Shockingly.
High heels.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly how I described it. Their foot structure is extremely recognizable to us humans. The layer they have under this almost human-like bone structure acts as a shoe, or I guess more so a high heel. They're constantly walking on their little tippy toes. They don't feel that because they have the padding of the fat layer below their... Oh, yes, Gunner?
So what is that layer? Is it like cartilage?
I just got it described as fat. I wouldn't be surprised if it was cartilage, but just something soft and squishy. I believe probably mostly fat, which I feel like that still hurt. But I mean, they're fine with it. And also, they have four legs, so I guess the weight is distributed well.
I'd assume. Yeah.
So yeah, elephants are constantly walking on their tippy toes, whether they like to or not. They're on high heels, but they are just a layer of fat. Where would you guys put that on the crazometer?
I mean they're mammals, like,
yeah,
and all mammals, you know, even bats to whales, right?
Yeah,
they, when it all comes to bone structure, it's surprisingly well relatively the same. Mm-hmm. So I don't think this is that crazy, so I would put it probably at a 20.
Okay. Oh.
I was going to say like a 5, honestly.
5,
like,
wow.
It's going from green penis syndrome to, you do know that the elephant's foot, it kind of looks like a high heel.
But the thing is, they're constantly walking on tippy toes, whether they want to or not.
They got four other of those fucking legs that they're also walking on at the same time. Like,
the fifth leg being the green penis?
Yeah.
if I saw an elephant walking around on two legs going, that'd be a little bit different. But it's a 5 for me.
5, okay. Ben, would you like to go next?
Yeah, I'll just say like 15.
15. Any explanation for that?
I mean, it's the only crazy thing about it is that I just didn't know that, and it's kind of a little like, whoa, they kind of look like high heels.
Fair. I'm gonna give it a 30, just because I think that's interesting. I think it's funny that they look so human. Like their feet look so human in bone structure, and that they're constantly on their tippy toes, because it's not like other, you know, like dogs, their bone structure is similar to ours, but like they're constantly technically on what would be our tippy toes, but they look like feet. With them, if you look at their bone structure, it literally looks like they are on their tippy toes. So that's why I would give that one a 30. I think that's pretty interesting, which makes its crazometer score 17.5. is the official RWAT crazometer score for elephants on their tippy toes. You guys agree with that?
I would agree.
Yeah.
Follow me.
Next up, next up would have been green penis, but we've already talked about that one. This one is one of my favorites. They're stubborn, which that doesn't sound very crazy on the surface, but they're smart and stubborn, and they remember. An elephant never forgets is like what that, you know, old adage is. But for this specific family of elephants, they are led by the matriarch Wonky Tusk, is I guess what they named her. They have a specific migration route that to a grove that grows one of their favorite fruits, mangoes. Unfortunately for them, the Mfuwe Lodge, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, Mfuwe, it's M-F-U-W-E, Mfuwe Lodge in Zambia, was constructed along their migration route due to the mangoes. It was constructed there, and it happened to be on their route to the mangoes. When the elephants returned one year to find that the lodge was blocking their path to the grove, they simply strolled through the lobby of the hotel to reach their beloved mango trees. So they just walked right in like they own the place. These elephants visit the lodge every November for 4 to 6 weeks to feast on mangoes, sometimes up to 4 times a day. Hotel staff and visitors have become accustomed to these impromptu visits by the elephants, who enter the lobby 2 by 2. So the lodge director lived in South Luangwa National Park since 1982, and says that this has never happened before. It's a unique experience. Nothing like this has happened on Earth. Despite the proximity to the lodge, and their regular visits, there have been no incidents involving the elephants and the lodge's 150 staff. While guests can observe the elephant from a distance, they are not allowed to approach them closely. Mfue Lodge, comprising seven camps, including a base camp through which the elephant passed, sees increased activity in November due to the natural phenomenon. People want to see the elephants. Andy highlights that the lodge attracts more visitors during elephant migration season. Andy is the lodge director. Now, this is another one I'm going to show you guys a photo of. Are you guys ready to see this?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. I need more excitement.
Yeah! Sure.
An elephant in a hotel!
Please!
What are you... Yeah, okay, whatever. Right, take it or leave it. There is a picture.
Damn, what Ruby's saying it?
Bro's returning his key.
Room for four, please.
Room for a mango, please.
This motherfucker coming down at 2 a.m. Hi, I'm sorry to be a bother, but the person in the room next to me, they're making a lot of ruckus.
they're walking around really loudly. Oh my gosh. So they just love their mangoes so much that they are just down to walk. They're so stubborn, they don't want to walk around. Just walk through the damn place. Where would you guys rate elephants walking through the lodge of a hotel on your crazometer?
As a former elephant? Yeah, that's what I would.
That's what I did.
Yeah, I'd be doing the same shit.
That's the strategy. That's the method.
Honestly, I'd give it a 10.
Oh.
I'd say like a 35 for me. It's like, it's very unique. This is in this specific situation, them going through a hotel, them booking a room at the Four Seasons Zimbabwe, like, you know, it's
Zambia.
Zambia shit, Zambia. My bad. Sorry. I thought you said Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
But like, what animal, like, I mean, like monkeys do that, right?
But the thing is, a monkey is the size of a human.
I get they have different behavior, but like, still.
A monkey's not going to remember that they did that like a year ago. An elephant's going to be like, oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, like, they're just so massive. Like, yeah. and they're obviously getting accustomed to it around humans.
All right. I'll raise it to a 20.
20.
You can't budge me anymore.
All right. All right. And then, Dylan, what was yours?
I think I said 30. I think 30 is probably more realistic than.
Okay.
I'm trying to be conservative because I feel like there's going to be like one that's just like crazy.
Fair.
I think this one is crazier than the green penis because the green penis is just something that all elephants, well, not, maybe not all elephants, but many male elephants experience. This is a conscious decision that this specific pack of elephants decided to do for the first time on Earth. So I'm going to say like 55.
55, I agree with that. I'm going to say 60 because Wonky Tusk is her name, and she's the one that led her. She just does not give a fuck. Like, she's like, okay, you guys are building your shit, but I still got to get my mangoes. Like, that is so conscious and so, like, funny. They understand what's going on. They don't understand what a hotel is, but they understand that other animals are occupying this place permanently, and they're just like, I mean, as long as I get access to my mango, it's like, that's all they care about.
Would it have been like a 2-minute detour or something like that?
I mean, it's just a hotel. It's just some mango trees. They can go around. They just don't want to. All right. So that leads. This is actually our craziest so far. 64 on the crazometer.
Huh?
64. I was not expecting that. Yeah. So we have 20, 30, 50. Yours is 55, right? 105, yeah. And mine was 60. 165 divided by 4.
Huh? What?
21.
Wait, well, no, that's... That wasn't right. Wait. So, 20, right? 20, 30, 55, right?
Yeah.
And then 60. Yeah, I don't know where I got 64. It's 41.25.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how is it higher than any of our answers? Yeah,
bro, just thought someone said 80 at some point.
I guess so. I don't know. I mean, maybe I just added one of them multiple times. Yeah, I was like, wait a second. 41.25 on our crazometer for elephants in hotels. Write that down. All right. Here's another very cool one. Elephants are actively evolving to not grow tusks anymore. And I'm sure you guys can figure out why. African elephants. So this is just an article that I am reading off of. A hefty set of tusks is usually an advantage for elephants, allowing them to dig for water, strip bark for food, and joust with other elephants. But during episodes of intense ivory poaching, those big incisors become a liability. Now researchers have pinpointed how years of a civil war and poaching in Mozambique have led to a greater proportion of elephants that will never develop tusks. During the conflict from 1977 to 1992, fighters on both sides slaughtered elephants for ivory to finance war efforts. Boo! In the region that is now... Yes! Okay, let's get L's in the chat. So, in the region that is now Gorongosa National Park. I swear to God, I never proofread this crap. Around 90% of elephants were killed. The survivors were likely to share a key characteristic. Half the females were naturally tuskless. They simply never developed tusks. While before the war, less than a fifth lacked tusks. Like eye color in humans, genes are responsible for whether elephants inherit tusks from their parents. Although tusklessness was once rare in African savanna elephants, it's becoming more common, like a rare eye color becoming widespread. After the war, those tuskless surviving females passed on their genes with expected as well as surprising results. About half their daughters were tuskless. More perplexing, two-thirds of their offspring were female. That's insane. Years of unrest changed the trajectory of evolution in that population, said evolutionary biologist Shane Campbell Statton, based at Princeton. So after, basically, what is that, the bottleneck? Is that what it's called? When only a few of a species survive, and then their genes are what fills out the rest, causing them to not grow tusks anymore. What do you guys think?
I think that is very interesting, and it's definitely crazy, I would say. Like, it's something that I never knew, and I just did, like, a quick lookup. Like, that is very... It is true. Like, a lot of people have been talking about how, like...
Bro!
What?
The game is you guys have to figure out... Which one isn't true? And he said, I actually looked it up on Google.
I didn't hear that part.
Okay, sorry,
I forgot about that part, actually.
I won't do it again, but like, it's very interesting. And like, because for me, it seems like they would need those. Like, it just seems like for them to do that to solely evade poaching. Yeah. Seems like it would just wipe out the species a lot faster, but it seems like to not be the case, essentially. But
I mean, they're smart. They can persevere, I guess. I mean, it sucks, but I think it helps to know that a fifth of them before the poaching got widespread also didn't have tusks. So it's not like they can't survive without them. Obviously, 20% of them figured out a way to survive before the poaching. But I think it's a win. I hate that they don't have a little tool, but if the tool is causing them to die, then, I mean...
So be it.
Yeah,
I'd rather have my future generations be able to see elephants rather than talk about what they were because of people continuously hunting them.
Seriously. Any other thoughts before the crazometer? Who wants to start on the crazometer?
I'll start.
All right.
I'm this one is going to be a little low for me. I'm going to put this one at like probably 15.
15. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought like it has a cool kind of historical background. It's sad, but cool to learn about. But yeah, just nothing too extraordinarily crazy for me.
Fair.
So I've known that ivory was high in demand probably about 100 years ago, mm-hmm. and suing long before that, right? Mm-hmm. But I knew that was the case, and just knowing the key concepts of just evolution through, you know, I don't know, basic biology, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'd give it a 5.
5, okay. Dylan?
I'd say like at least like a 25 for me. I mean, it's like it's something that I didn't know. Then I had to proof check it just because it sounds so crazy to me. I won't do it again, like I mentioned, but I will say 25 though.
All right, 25. So did the number go down because you figured out it was true? You said, bro,
no,
this is
I
so
think
crazy.
That, I think it was going to say, I was going to say something in the 20s regardless.
Okay.
Because yeah. Once again, I'm being conservative. There could be just one of those things where it's like, an elephant did what?
Yeah. Yeah, fair. I'm going to say, this one's going to be lower for me too. I'm going to say 30. I mean, I did all put them on the crazy list for a reason. I think it's crazy. I think it's sad. I don't think a lot of animals, other tusked animals are necessarily doing this, or other animals with ivory necessarily are doing this. I think they're just kind of going extinct. So I think it's crazy. I think it's good that it's happening in a sad way, but it's kind of like a complicated situation. So I think it's kind of crazy. So I'm giving it a 30. So that leads its score. The total score was 75, and I divided it by 4, and I said, yeah, it's 52.5. What?
No.
Why does it do it? Okay, 75 divided by 4 is 18.75.
It's got to be taken into account some other numbers before.
Yeah, I must have pressed a button each time or something. So this, I believe, might be our least crazy so far. And our last and maybe least, I don't know. I didn't put these in any particular order. I guess I should have started with that. But our last is that elephants think humans are cute the same way that humans think puppies are cute.
I've read that, actually.
I've read that as well, yeah.
So, discovered back in 2017, very recent, the same part of your brain that activates when you see something cute, like a puppy, activates in elephants when they see humans. This is why elephants are often tolerant of humans and even sometimes actively seek out human contact. Humans have been able to tame elephants in certain regions for hundreds of years. Of course, this doesn't apply to mama elephants. They are very mean. And also, apparently, horny male
green penis elephants.
Yeah. Does not apply to them, but they think humans are cute. So that is our last one. And it sounds like you guys might have already known that. Any crazometer thoughts?
5.
I'm going to say the same thing.
5, okay.
I'm going to say, I don't know, this one's more of like a 20 for me.
20. I think this one is, I mean, the ability that other animals are able to find things cute, and like kind of the maternal wanting to protect it. Is, I guess it makes sense, but it is cute. It's a nice idea. And I didn't know other animals had that capacity, even though it makes sense. Let's say 20. Leads our last one to have a total score of 50. So 12.5 is our last on the crazometer. Obviously, I did not put these in any particular order, as you guys can now see. So now, before we go on to which one is the craziest, you guys will have to discuss amongst yourselves which one of these was fake or a myth. Right. So I will remind you, they have very similar feet to humans, very similar bone structure on little high heels. Green penis disorder. They get green penis during must, and the urine dribbling on their penis turns their penis green. They are stubborn, and they like to walk through hotels if it means that they can get a juicy mango off of a tree. They're actively evolving to not grow tusks, and they think humans are cute. Which one do you guys think is a myth?
Well, unfortunately, due to my negligence, we can already say that with evolving without tusks is in fact real. So yes. That one's not a myth.
Okay.
It's not the cute one either,
because both Gunnar and I knew about it before. Green penis, I'm more inclined to believe because of my knowledge of must, but once again, we'll discuss it more. If I had to say any of them being fake, I would say it's either the high heel one or it's the going through hotels.
Okay.
But I can see them going through hotels.
But like, I think it's the reason for them going through a hotel. I think that's kind of be like the gotcha for it.
I'm more focused on the ones we thought were true. Reason being is like we heard they were true, but what evidence did we have? Like, was it just hearsay, you know?
That's true. That's true. You know, I've heard plenty of things off of TikTok that are not true. Case in point, yeah, that one.
Literally, Gabe was talking to me about that today.
And the reason being is, like, I've heard elephants are cute. But where did I hear that from? It's completely from social media. Have I seen tons of video of elephants and humans interacting and being like, yeah, they're, you know, they interact fine. But I don't know what study indicates that is true.
That's a good point. I have sources for all these. I did not let you guys know the sources for that exact reason.
I almost feel like there's a possibility that the green penis one could be Gabe.
I don't know.
Could be Gabe blatantly throwing something extremely crazy out there. So he'd be like, oh, it's probably true. But because I'm wondering if he like found some information about Must and then was like, oh, also they get a green penis. Because he mostly just talked about Must and then like threw in the urine dribbling thing. It's like, yeah, and they have as a green penis too.
That's a good point.
That is true.
But he also did offer for us to look up elephant green penis.
Yeah, but then when I accidentally looked up Tuss, he's like, why did you do that? So I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's too on the nose for Gabe to say to like make that one be the myth. I feel like there is a degree to it that like I think it is real.
Okay.
I think that one's real.
Yeah.
It's like it's so crazy. Like I would be a fool to think it's not. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I do. Yeah, I do.
Right.
Reality is often crazier than fiction.
Call me crazy.
You're crazy.
Hey, I just met you.
Hi.
And this is crazy.
Yeah, no. But I don't, I mean, like I said, I think we're safe on green penis. We're definitely safe on the tusks.
I think, and hear me out, guys, that just the fact that what scientific evidence is there really, how can they prove that? That the way humans see puppies is the way elephants see humans, right? How can they prove that?
I mean, I think it falls into the same science of like with like killer whale, like with orcas, and how orcas don't see humans as prey or predators, and they just see us as like these things that they can, you know, we're chill.
But what do you measure that? Orcas don't attack humans? I mean, elephants don't attack a lot of things.
That's true.
Well, it's based off of like a bunch of, it's based off a bunch of research of like, you know,
I thought he said like, something about brainwaves.
If you guys want, I can read my little abridged thing from my source verbatim if you guys would like.
Yeah, I mean, go for it.
Discovered back in 2017, the same part of your brain that activates when you see something as cute, when you recognize something as cute, say a puppy, activates in elephants when they see humans. This is why elephants are often tolerant of humans and even sometimes actively seek out human contact, as we saw with the hotel. Humans have been able to tame elephants in certain regions for hundreds of years, Asian elephants. Of course, this doesn't apply to mama elephants or Must elephants.
I was going to keep saying things about how, like, you know, the way, like, going back to, like, the whole orca thing, like, the way scientists and researchers are able to figure out the thing about orcas is because it's doing the research of, like, how whales behaved around humans, how many times a whale attack has been reported, like, what were the conditions of that whale attack? Was it accidental? Was it intentional? Were those intentional ones due to that captivity? But then, like, I'm thinking about more where it's, like, with orcas, the ones like where genuine humans have died in the majority, it's always been because they've been in like captivity and whatnot. However, there's been way more cases of why I feel like of wild elephants just killing humans. Obviously, they have reasons, Must and, you know, defensive mamas. Yeah. But at the same time, it's just like, damn, Gunner's kind of turning me to being like, why, you know.
If there's any others you want me to read again verbatim, I will.
The reason why I mentioned like the the foot one is because, like, he could be like, gotcha, if, like, actually it's the woolly mammoth that had a certain type of bone structure.
Yeah, but
that
elephants,
made it...
elephants are closer to woolly mammoths than elephants are closer to us.
Exactly, yeah.
You know how crazy that would be if woolly mammoths just had, like, a little lizard toe or something as their foot?
What would be crazy is if woolly mammoths had green penises.
Now that would be off the charts on the crazometer.
That would be 100. No, I then yeah, to that point, I think that's fair to say. What was the other one I was like skeptical about?
Hey, Gabe, can you just go through the options again?
Yeah, so I'll start at the beginning. Their feet, bone structure similar to humans. They're constantly walking on their tippy toes. Green penis, sometimes causes green penis from dribbles of urine and a distinct odor and green color. They're stubborn and they are willing to walk through hotels if it means mangoes. And they're also very smart, obviously. They remember, and they are actively evolving to not grow tusks. They think humans are cute.
Yeah, I don't know. The reason why I'm thrown off by the stubborn one is, like, I think Gabe providing a picture to, like, credit this is, like, he could have just pulled a picture of, like, this random time an elephant ended up in a hotel. They couldn't get it out. Like, and, like, that was, like, the thing he showed us, not a case of this one specific elephant commonly doing this every single year or whatever.
I'm leaning more towards the hotel one.
But then again, the cute one. Gunner's got me thinking about the cute one because it's just like, it's so vague. It genuinely is so vague that, like, I really don't know.
Well, don't we get 2 votes?
No. What?
Where'd you get that from?
I thought he
you
said...
You get 1 vote to choose the myth, and then if we get it wrong, right. 1 vote to decide who gets the curse.
All right, I'll give you guys this.
Oh,
you guys want me to tell you whether the 2 that you're currently pondering, if one of those is right or not right, I will tell you whether one of the 2 you're talking about is right or incorrect. Do you guys want to know that?
I mean, fellas, do we want to know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. One of those is correct. They are one of those is the myth.
Okay, so we've done a good job windling it down. The more I think about it, I think it's the cute one. It feels like it snuck its way in there, and
I'm giving you guys 60 seconds.
What? Okay.
Gunner, do you still feel strongly about the cute one?
I do. Yes.
Okay.
Then
did you guys are you guys already done? I got 2
we panicked. We panicked, bro.
Right. Are you guys voting that elephants think humans are cute is the myth?
Yes.
Let's lock it in.
All right.
Let's lock it in.
Give me a drum roll.
Yes!
I got it from a Snopes article. It is not technically disproven, but there's no reason. Just some girl was told that one day, put it on social media, and people were like, yes! Yes! So, like...
I actually was having this conversation with my dad the other day, and I was like, I heard something about it, and he's like, oh, but, like, what proof is there? I was like, honestly, I don't know. So we looked it up together, and we couldn't find anything on it other than the fact that there have just been some elephant-human interactions.
Yes, and
I don't want to give that away.
Yeah. Because
I wanted there to be some distinction, fair. But yeah. Fair.
A lot of that is true. Humans have domesticated Asian elephants. Obviously, elephants are pretty cool
circus,
with humans.
I mean, circus elephants are the pinnacle of that, but once again, it's just like, and that's where like my whole orca thing came up, where it's like, well, domesticated elephants have some of the highest rates of killing people or injuring people because they're captive and they have zoocosis. So,
yeah.
You know.
Great job, fellas. You guys got it on our very first episode. That means you guys each won a do again token for odds. So if you guys get hit with something, you guys can ask for a do over.
Don't I have like 2 of those now?
Yes, you have 2 of them. Again, this is the start of a series. Hopefully, I hope you guys liked it. And I'll have to come up with maybe less powerful tokens that you guys can win, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Good job, guys. The craziest thing that an elephant has done, according to Reality with a Twist, is have green penis. That is the craziest thing an elephant has ever done, according to
Reality. I don't know. I thought you were going to say...
Well, I don't know, because I have a crazy pharmaceutical fun fact.
Oh,
really?
Let's hear it.
All right. There is an elephant sedative that is emerging in the United States that is 10 times stronger than fentanyl. Carfentanil is affecting many. For one such instance is a man has suspected on 20 counts, including murder, of 10 deaths in the month of July and 9 other overdoses within hours of one another. He's being convicted, okay?
Holy shit.
This is being recent. Carfentanil is on the rise. If you thought fentanyl was bad enough and killing millions, right? Carfentanil is on the rise, okay? Carfentanil is an elephant sedative. Do you think an elephant sedative should go into a human? No! Anyways, that is our pharmacy fun fact.
Holy
so, Gunner, can I ask a question about this?
Yeah.
Can people even successfully use that without dying?
Yeah.
Like to get effects?
Probably not. They don't have as many as receptors, and then plus all the adverse side effects would just be too high. An elephant has more, you know, mass, right? So they're going to absorb it more, but they have more circulatory flow, so it's going to be distributed more evenly, right? Human, it's just going to be distributed. It's just going to be pounce, 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 right? You know, it's just going to be, you know, the drug is going to be hitting the receptor just over and over and over, and it's just going to be constant effect, right? And that's what we don't want. And and it's not like when a drug hits a receptor, it's the one effect. It's dozens of effects. Like, it's a splur of things happening, right? Some good, like the effect we want, but then we have side effects, like the effects we don't want, right? So, that's the problem.
Yeah, and then also, Gunnar, you can correct me, but it's also like, it's more with humans, where each of us are always doing some shit to our body as well, with like the stuff that we eat and like what we're doing, like drugs we consume for medication reasons or for recreational reasons. So it's like elephants, they don't do that. They eat grass and stuff.
And that's a big thing, right, too. And a lot of it has to depend on what your recreational drug use is, and a lot of it's going to interact. But you know, think of it too. The biggest reason why people die of opioid overdoses is that they stop breathing. Opioids cause respiratory depression, which is basically your chest can't move anymore. When respiratory depression happens, you stop breathing. And so that's the huge thing. If you have something 10 times as strong as carfentanil, it's almost going to be like as soon as it gets into your body, and you know, you're not going to be breathe. Yeah. You're suffocate, and you're going to have overdose response too. You know, overdose response can be a lot of things, and that's you know, and your stronger drugs, respiratory depression is more of a concern, and like, you know, what you're getting over the pharmacy. But your stronger just, you will have a overdose effect, whether that be vomiting, whether that be mouth foaming, I mean, passing out, and you know, responsiveness. I mean, it could be a dozen things, right? But it's those things that make it so crucial as to know those responses and get the proper help to prevent death from overdose. But that's why it's, you know, we don't want people on this carfentanil. We don't want people on fentanyl at all. So that's the whole thing. Yeah. On one.
Another quick question.
Yeah.
If there's somebody who's like used fentanyl for a long time and they've become a little bit more tolerant to it.
Yeah.
Are they going to be, like, is that something that somebody could switch over to carfentanil and be a little more resistant to it?
No. So the likelihood, so an experience I have, the only time I see people on fentanyl is they are in some really bad chronic condition, which could range from like they're having stage 4 of cancer. They're in hospice, you know, they got in some like ridiculous car accident and their time is pretty limited. It'd be a number of things, right? And fentanyl's never orally taking, it's always patches. And so if somebody has developed such a such a immunity, we'll say, to fentanyl, it's because there's been long-term use of improper and very very messy, very inappropriate use of just of opioids. And fentanyl is one of the, it's probably the strongest thing that we get prescription over the counter, and fentanyl's pretty damn strong. Okay. And I mean, hence, like, fentanyl when it's given orally, right, and it's laced and stuff, that's why people are dying. It's because they're overdosing on the fentanyl, not the drug that they were taking. And the drug they were taking doesn't help. But anyways, so no, and short, if they just if they become so used to and adjusted to the fentanyl, there's nothing higher, and the likelihood of them doing that is so freaking slim. I can't imagine any scenario of them doing that. So
I feel like it's kind of similar. Like an alcoholic, yeah, they can drink alcohol and be okay. You know, they might even be just so used to it that they have to. They might go into withdrawal without it. But if you give them 10 times the amount they normally drink, they're still gonna have some issues. You know, like
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's a great way to put it. Actually, I mean, it's the exact same concept, right? You, if you build a point to where you're adjusted at, and you still give 10 times that strength, right, there's still going to be issues. Even there's still going to be issues to the point they've adjusted to, because it doesn't eliminate all those side effects and adverse effects, right? So
yeah,
those are still there.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it
was pretty crazy. Crazometer 1,000.
No.
10 times the original crazometer. That's why I said 1,000.
That's crazy.
Dylan, well, first of all, thank you very much for our pharmacy drug fact, Gunner.
Yes,
of course, of course.
Dylan, do you have a Roblox game? Wait, not game.
Roblox tidbit. Yes. Yeah, the tidbits. Of course, I do have some stuff. On this day in Roblox history, once again, not much really happened. The biggest thing that happened, or the only thing really, was that avatar thumbnails now use the idle pose of the currently equipped animation pack for R15. What does that mean? Essentially, if you have an R15 animation pack equipped and you have a certain idle animation, like for example the ninja one, your character will be in a certain pose and you click on their profile. It's really cool in 2017. It's kind of just passed now because it's like the pipe around its end. Keep in mind, back before this point, every single character was like side profile like this, yeah, just doing their thing. Yeah. So it was game changing for the time, but obviously it's now passed. But now some cool, interesting facts about Roblox stuff. Did you know that the 7th annual Bloxy Awards was the first event to be held in experience using video frames? Meaning this was the first ever Roblox and whatever to actually have video playing inside of the game.
Whoa.
Which is revolutionary for the metaverse people of Roblox who want to play movies and stuff and show trailers and everything. Speaking of already cool things, did you know that tickets, a former Roblox currency aside, Robux, were removed on April 14th, 2016? It's just another fun reminder about what we once used to have on the platform. It's crazy that we're nearing close to 10 years since we've last had it.
Sucks. That sucks.
It's crazy. And I guess the last thing is, did you know that the brown cowboy hat was the oldest marketplace item in the Western genre? Neither did I, but that's yeah, crazy, I know. And that's really all I got for today. Yeah, I also just want to mention, I guess I'd also, another side thing, tornado tidbit, because I already talked about it with the guys here,
yes,
in the Facebook,
yes,
chat.
Yes.
My information about the strongest tornado, or the strongest wind speeds to ever be recorded on Earth, shockingly, has been outdated now, as the Greenfield, Iowa EF4 tornado has now taken the record as the strongest tornado to ever touch down on Earth, plus the strongest wind speeds ever recorded on Earth, with having a minimum max wind speed of 313 miles per hour, blowing out the previously recorded 302 that the Bridge Creek Moor had. Obviously, this was 1999 when Bridge Creek Moor happened, and so for a 302 rating in 1999, crazy. It might have still been the highest wind speeds ever recorded, but with the newer technology we now have with on-the-wheel mobile, you know, mobile Doppler radars or whatever, we got heightened readings with that tornado, and just this specific tornado had those heightened wind speeds. So, crazy stuff. Yeah.
Like, I was just going to say... Go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, like, some planes go that fast. So, like, imagine opening the door on a plane and standing on the wing and being like, okay, I'm just going to stand here. Like, it's just absolutely insane. Like, you can't even imagine how fast that is.
Yeah, and in this case, it was a big, ginormous funnel that was just traveling through and debatably caused EF4 damage. If I ever do another tornado episode, I'm probably going to talk about all the tornadoes that should have been in EF5, but weren't, because they either... the damage was so bad that the surveyors just missed it, or it was just debatable about, like, what would be considered EF4 or EF5 damage, blah, blah, blah. But that's for a topic for another time. Those are my tidbits for the week. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed them.
Yippee!
Phrasometer. Holy crap!
Holy crap!
Ben, would you like to go next?
Yes. So I know in recent episodes, I can't remember if it was the last one or not, I mentioned the sex offender registry.
Yes.
Now, did you guys know that some states have registries for other crimes, like violent offender registries, or drunken driving registries, career offender registries?
Huh.
So, yeah, basically, they don't usually come with the same kind of restrictions that a sex offender registry would have, like with you can't live here, you can't be on this kind of property, but it still does... you know, it puts your name, address, and face out there for people to see. It's very easy for you to be found by background searches, trying to get a place to live or a job. So one that Indiana has is actually Violent Offender Registry. So those are for serious violent felonies. And it's actually kind of conjoined with our Sex Offender Registry. So... what do you guys think of just various crime registries?
I mean, astronomically rare Indiana W. I think that's
very rare Indiana W.
For something like that, it's good to just have public information on it. I mean, I think the second you use a weapon to try to hurt somebody, you lose your privacy rights with that kind of crime. I don't think you deserve to be able to keep it a secret. So I think that's... I'm happy with it.
I agree.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Dylan. I forgot to say thank you, Dylan.
No problem. No problem.
So I didn't think this through. Now I have two segments, one after the other. So get prepared. We're going to start with weird news. You guys ready for some weird news?
Ooh, yes.
All right. As always, this comes straight from the Associated Press. So dozens of... well, actually, let me just visit the website first, because I would like to read the actual title of this article before I get into what the article is. All right. Perfectly preserved centuries-old cherries unearthed at George Washington's Mount Vernon, Virginia, his plantation. So dozens of bottles of cherries and berries, and possibly preserved in storage pits uncovered from the cellar of his mansion on the banks of the Potomac River, were discovered during an archaeological dig connected to a restoration project. So what do you guys think of some preserved cherries and berries?
Pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Kind of old. So Jason Burroughs, Mount Vernon's principal archaeologist, said the discovery of so much perfectly preserved food from more than 250 years ago is essentially unprecedented. Finding what is essentially fresh fruit 250 years later is pretty spectacular, end quote, Bro said in an interview. Oh, well, quote, all the stars sort of have to align in the right manner for that to happen. Whole pieces of fruit recognizable as cherries were found in some of the bottles. Other bottles held what appear to be gooseberries or currants, which black currants were actually banned in the United States, so that's kind of cool that currants were there. And where was I? What the heck? back. Okay, there we go. Though testing is underway to confirm that. Mount Vernon is partnering with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which is conducting DNA testing on the fruit, which is very funny, DNA testing on fruit. They are also examining more than 50 cherry pits recovered from the bottles to see if any of them can be planted, because that would be so cool if you could grow a cherry tree from the cherry that was preserved in Mount Vernon. Seeds preserve best when they are dry, and most of the samples found at Mount Vernon were waterlogged. A couple pits tested initially were not viable as seeds, unfortunately. Still, he said the bottles are a remarkable find. In addition to DNA testing, he said chemical testing may be able to show if particular spices were used to preserve the fruits. Records at Mount Vernon show that George and Martha Washington were fond of cherries, at least when mixed with brandy. Now, this part I found very interesting. I want to know you guys what you guys think of this. Martha Washington's recipe for a cherry bounce cocktail survives, and Washington wrote that he took a canteen of cherry bounce with him on a trip across the Alleghenies. Have I never seen that word before? What the heck? Wait, what?
Apparently not.
I don't know if that's if GH is pronounced as an F or as Alephanese. Alephanies. I don't know. In 1784. These cherries, though, were most likely bottled to be eaten simply as cherries instead of used in cherry bounce. Have you guys ever heard of cherry bounce?
No.
It actually seems very interesting. I'm very curious to try it. I want to show you guys the recipe for cherry bounce really quick. I don't want to keep us here too long. Let's see. Let's open this. So cherry bounce, I'm going to send the recipe in Penis Channel. I'm going to talk about it very briefly. But I want to see if you guys would drink this, because I think it looks pretty actually delicious. It is simply just brandy and cherries. So it's 10 to 11 pounds of fresh sour cherries, preferably Morello, or 3 jars of preserved Morello cherries, 4 cups of brandy, 3 cups of sugar, and 2 cinnamon sticks broken into pieces, 2 to 3 whole cloves, and 1 1/4 inch piece of fresh whole nutmeg. So it's just a spiced sweet cherry brandy. I think that sounds delicious, and it's
sounds like a good Christmas drink.
Yes, and it's a very beautiful red, just a straight cherry juice looking beverage. I'm very curious to try it. So what do you guys think?
It looks very pretty. Has a nice name. I'll never drink it.
Yep. I don't even know if I'll ever drink it. So I guess you especially would never drink it. But what do you guys think of some preserved cherry? It is worth mentioning. I saw this in a few comments. These most likely were not put there by the Washington family. They were probably put there by slaves, because the Washingtons were slave owners. So it's not like George and Martha were just out on the field picking their little cherries. It's not. It's a bit more sinister.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, but it still is a very cool find seeing preserved cherries from this long ago. Now, next up, This Week in Marketing. This is a bit of a more simple story, which I'm very curious to see what you guys think of this one, if it ever loads. Okay, there we go. So, Toys R Us creates first brand film to use OpenAI's text-to-video tool. They created an actual video with a AI tool, and I'm going to send you guys the video now, and we're going to talk about it really quick.
I'm ready when you guys are.
YouTube.
Yeah, I'm ready.
It's just
I'm ready.
The big with the blue car and the blue house. This is all AI. All right, 3, 2, 1.
Did you ever wonder how Toys R Us and Jeffrey the Giraffe came to be? The son of a bike shop owner, Charles Lazarus, had a vision that would go on to change toy stores forever. Toys R Us at every Macy's.
So obviously not the entire thing was AI. There was obviously human, but you can tell when the AI is. I'm sure you guys could tell when the AI was. What did you guys think of that?
It was a little creepy.
It was a little creepy.
It was. Parts of it were actually like kind of mesmerizing. Yeah. Which is, it's just weird.
Yeah.
Weird to think about.
Kind of sad to admit, but I think it was, when it comes to AI, it was very good. I think they it could have been a lot worse. Dylan, do you have any thoughts?
Hot garbage.
Okay. So here's a quick insight into it. This is from marketingdive.com. As it prepares for a major relaunch, Toys R Us is embracing generative AI tools that have become the focus of the marketing and media industry. OpenAI kicked off the current AI frenzy with the launch of ChatGPT in November 2022 and is prepared to take another leap forward with the forthcoming release of its Sora tool. Toys R Us Studio relied on native foreign and chief creative officer Nick Why do I always get the hard words to pronounce on these articles? Nick Cleverov, who has alpha access to Sora to create a 1-minute photorealistic video about the retailer's origin. The video imagines how Charles Lazarus, the son of a bike store owner, dreamed up Toys R Us and its iconic mascot. Toys R Us Studios president Kim Miller Olko served as executive producer and Cleverov acted as director on the project. So it's just a minute long thing, and it mentions Macy's. They were wanting to relaunch at Macy's. And it just kind of goes into how they filed for bankruptcy and a few quotes. If you want to read more about it, it is in the link in the description. I think for AI, it's pretty impressive, but it is still clearly AI. A lot of it is clearly AI. But Sora is insane. It is impressive. Any further thoughts before we move on to our best worst part of the show?
Nope. None for me.
I'm not forgetting any segments, am I?
Not to my knowledge.
All right, cool. What are the odds? What are the odds is a combination of a dare and a bet. There's an odds asker and a victim. The odds asker dares the victim to do a dare, and the victim gets to set their own likelihood of having to do the dare by setting a number. The higher the number, the less likely the victim is to have to do the dare. On the count of three, a third party counts down from 3, 3, 2, 1. And the odds asker and victim say a number between 1 and the number the victim said. And if they say the same number, the victim has to do a dare. If none of our individual odds hit, we will do a descending odds, which essentially we will elect one, and one of us will have to do the elected dare. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one.
All right.
Oh.
This one goes to Ben.
Oh.
Ben has a pretty big day coming up.
He does.
Oh, boy.
And then there's a reception.
Sure is.
Then what are the odds that you get on the microphone when music's playing and say, "This one goes out to my buddy Dylan," and you just play a song of your choice? Probably the most random song, but you have to say, "This one goes out to my buddy Dylan."
Oh man. Every single person in the room would look at me.
Well, duh. Everybody's looking at you regardless. What are you talking about?
It's my big day. Why is everybody looking at me?
Bro, when he's up there with his wife, why is everyone looking at me right now?
Oh, man. This one goes out to my buddy Dylan, and it's just it's just magic by the
car. Oh, why?
24-karat magic.
I'll say that's really funny, but I have to say like 22.
Okay.
Oh, three, that's how old I am.
Yippee! 3, 2, 1.
2, 7.
Oh, man.
Right. Dylan.
Yeah.
What are the odds that you have to go to a neighboring state of your choice tomorrow and vlog the trip to a neighboring state? It could be Kentucky, Michigan, Iowa. Yeah, you can go to Iowa if you want. Illinois or Ohio.
Bro,
and you have to vlog the trip. And we can just put it on the YouTube channel. It's the odds. It'd be funny. You can just go to Dayton. It's like an hour and a half away from you. Or maybe 2 hours.
But still, why would I want to go to Dayton of all places?
You can go to Cincy. If you want to go to Cincy and go to that one international store, you could do that too.
How am I going to fucking...
Jungle Gems.
Tomorrow.
Literally. Hi, my parents who I work with right now. I'm going to be gone all day. I just lost an odds where I have to go to another state for a day.
be such a waste of time. 50.
50, okay.
All right, I'll count down. 3, 2, 1.
36. 36. I know what bro is going to do because he has two of them, but still.
Why did you remind him?
He's not going to forget.
His headphones weren't on.
Retry.
Using
the retry token.
Dang it.
While your headphones were off, I said, I know what bro is going to do. He has two of them. And then Ben was like, don't tell him. And it's like, how would he forget?
I literally brought it up. Like, there's no way I can do that. It's funny as hell, but like, there's no way.
3. 2, 1.
28.
Oh my god, I swear to god, if it fucking
You were gonna
hit
use
again,
it again. You were gonna use your
I
other
was
token.
Going to use it again. And if it hit the third time, then it really was meant to be, and I was gonna go
oh
to
Oh my gosh, I cannot believe that.
That's one of my favorite odds I've ever been asked.
I had a regret when I said 50, and I'm just very glad I have those tokens.
For our
very
listeners, 50s are kind of cursed with our group. They often lead to hits like that.
Oh my god, bro.
Go ahead, Dylan.
No, I was going to say, Gabe would be screwed if I said 2. Like,
but you guys, now you guys are all even playing field. You all have 1 do again token. So.
Yep. All right. Well,
Gunner?
Yeah.
What are the odds? And our viewers are not going to even enjoy this at all. It's just for us. What are the odds that one morning on the Wisconsin trip, you just have to make us all breakfast in bed?
Along with his own eggs that he has to eat?
Oh my gosh. We need to go over all of our... No, we shouldn't. We can't go over all of our odds. All right.
This is pretty funny, and I would do it. So 2.
Oh. All right, 3, 2, 1.
1. All right.
Oh,
yes. I have to make
so hey, it can one. Be.
Yeah,
it can be a really simple like
no,
toast
I'll
and
go
scrambled
all out.
Eggs.
Sounds good, but, as long as you just don't get food in the fucking bed.
Yeah, and we all have to play along. We all have to like have our little blankies over. Like, can't wait for our breakfast. Dude, like we cannot leave
mean,
bed.
I'm going to forget that. I'm going to forget about that and just leave the bed and like go use the bathroom.
For our list, okay, if you use the bathroom, that's okay. I'm not going to make you hold in your pee. But like, for our listeners, we are all in one. We're in a guest house, so we're all sharing one room. There's a bunk bed and a queen mattress. That we are all in the same room on this trip. So it'll be very funny. I cannot wait.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting.
Gabe, do you want to write that down?
Yes, yeah, I'll write that down.
You definitely need to write that down. All right. I'll let Gabe write his down, and I'm going to ask him my odds. Not as cruel as go to another state tomorrow. Literally, if you had said just, like, whenever you get the chance, I probably would have said, like, a lower number. And if it hit, I would have stuck with it.
Yeah, but we know what happened with Cleveland when we don't have a set date to do something. It just doesn't happen.
I know, but, like, if it's just me, I guess there's more independence to it.
Fair. Okay. Gunner has to make breakfast in bed. Have it written down.
All right. Let me double check to make sure my audio didn't get messed up when I yanked everything. Okay, I'm good. Gabe.
Yeah?
What are the odds that at the reception of Benjamin's wedding, you have to grab everyone's attention when music's playing? You'd be like, everybody, look at this cool dance move I did or I'm about to do. And you do like a very bad dance, and then
it's
like
E-dance
halfway through
one.
Halfway through you have to like mess up and just be like, damn it, and then just storm out and not come back for like 5 minutes.
You said that's not as bad as going to a different state. Motherfucker, I'd rather drive 2 hours than at Ben's most important day of his life go, everybody, and then run away. What are you Yeah, it's not as bad. What are you talking about?
It's not.
That is one of the worst odds you've ever asked me on the history of this fucking podcast.
No. No, fuck y'all. That is not the worst one I've asked you.
What? What? At his wedding with his and his fiance's family, get everybody's attention, do a bad dance move, get mad, and leave. That is the worst odds I've ever heard you ask me. What are you going? It's not that bad. What?
It's not, in my opinion.
Oh my! On the crazometer, that is 100.
Do you want me to ask you to go into a fucking Kroger, go into like the back of line and say, "Holy crap, these are crazy!"
Yes!
And then
that
not
would
leave
be easier because I don't know those people. He is my friend. I'm gonna his family will
then,
know of
then what
me.
About the you go? You know the store you work at. Leave that out.
It's such a that. Oh my god. Freaking okay. Wedding is better than my place of work, but 100, and that is so generous.
Alright, so it comes down.
3, 2, 1,
89.
78.
Oh my gosh.
I wish.
All right, well, we did have one odds hit, so we're not going to do a descending
well,
odds.
Well, technically two, but...
Yes, yes. So, no descending odds today. So, Gunnar, do you have any hints as to what our next episode should be about?
Do you ever have any pains and struggle with HR?
Yes, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. All right, well... I hope you guys enjoyed our elephants episode. I've been Gabriel.
I've been Gunner.
I've been Dylan.
I've been Ben.
And we will see you in like 2 weeks.
Bye. Bye.